Ron and Shelley, thank you for lighting the second Advent candle. You recall, if you were here with us last week, this very first candle that we lit for Advent, we said, this reminds us of God's faithfulness. God is faithful. We also were reminded of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were faithful to God. After 400 years of silence, no prophet, no word from God, waiting, and yet still faithfully serving God in the midst of that. That was last week. Be faithful. Today, Ron and Shelley were letting us know that this second candle we are choosing to allow this to remind us to be ready. Be ready. Are you ready this morning? Well, before I dig in here, I'd like to just begin with a word of prayer. So I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, it is a privilege for us to gather together today. I pray that you would speak to us right now. Thank you that you have communicated with us. Thank you that we have your word, which reveals your heart to us. Thank you that we can study it. Lord, I thank you that you have given us the Word who became flesh, Jesus. We celebrate him today, as we do all through the year. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us right now, minister to our hearts in ways that you know our hearts need to be ministered to. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Be ready. Be ready. What comes to your mind when you hear the words, be ready? Do you think of maybe a runner who is on a track getting ready? If you watch them, they start to kind of like loosen the muscles up, trying to shake themselves, trying to get themselves ready, trying to psych themselves up, and then they are told to get on your mark, and you kind of get yourself positioned, and then get set, and when you get set, you back into those blocks, those starting blocks, and then you wait for the sound of the gun, go, and they're off. Is that what you think of when you hear the words, get ready? Perhaps. Maybe when you hear the words, get ready, your mind is thinking more, ooh, get ready. Something fun is around the corner. I am in for a treat. There's a surprise. That might be what you think of. Get ready. Get ready for something exciting. Maybe you're optimistic. Maybe you are more pessimistic by nature. And you hear the words, get ready, and you think, ugh, it's coming. Something dreaded is coming around the corner. It's been smooth sailing for far too long. I know there's a storm on the horizon. It's just bound to come. Maybe when you hear the words, get ready, that's what you think. Get ready, it's only going to get worse. Perhaps that's what you think of when you hear the words, being ready. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was ready. She was ready for the way that God wanted to use her. And I want us to look at her example this morning. So if you have your Bible, take them and turn to Luke. Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at the passage that was read this morning, that Shelley read this morning. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. If you are using the Bible in the pew rack in front of you, I'm on page 723 this morning. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. This was read. I'm going to read it just one more time here. And I want us to think about what we can take away this morning. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. I want to make some observations about this passage this morning with you. What's going on here? First off, when did this take place? When is this all transpiring? Well, from the immediate context, we're told that this happened 6 months after the angel had first appeared to Zechariah. Last week, we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Zechariah had an angel, Gabriel, come and appear to him while he was burning incense in the temple. 6 months later, this is taking place. Now, in the larger context of what's going on here, this was 2,000 years ago. This was before Christ stepped on the scene. This was probably about 3, 4, 5 BC. I know in our minds it probably should be 9 months before zero. It doesn't work that way. Our calendars don't quite match up. This was more like 3, 4, 5 BC. So that's the time frame here. Who is Mary visited by? An angel. Which angel? Gabriel. Gabriel comes to visit Mary. Gabriel is the same angel who visited Zechariah. I want you to think with me about some differences between these encounters. The encounter of Zechariah with the angel Gabriel and the encounter of Mary with the angel Gabriel. What's taking place here? Well, you might recall if you were here last week, Zechariah, like Daniel, was struck with fear. He was terrified. 500 years before all of this took place, Zechariah had an encounter with Gabriel, and he was struck with fear. That's exactly how Zechariah responded to this. But what about Mary? How does she respond to this angel? Well, I'm kind of making some speculation here, okay? I don't see a lot of fear. I really, based on the context here, I see little fear, or really, in some ways, no fear. Mary, all we gather from here is an angel appears, says, "Greetings to you, you're favored, the Lord is with you," and Mary was troubled at his words. She was troubled at the way that she's been greeted. Never mind the fact that the supernatural is talking with her. Never mind that an angel is talking with you. That's never recorded. She is more troubled about, what is this greeting all about? Why am I being greeted in such a way? Why am I a favored one? She's wrestling with that. I don't see, honestly, a lot of fear in this girl. What else? Well, Zechariah, although he was upright and blameless, his response to the angel was unbelief. It was, and we don't fully get all that he was saying to the angel, but we just simply have this written, because you did not believe, you will be stricken with muteness. You will not be able to speak. This will be the sign to you. You will not speak for at least 9 months here. So Zechariah responds with unbelief, but how does Mary respond? Well, Mary's response was, I love just this, the sense that she is willing to actually ask the hard questions. It's okay to ask the hard questions. She's saying, how is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. How are you going to do this? But there isn't unbelief in this. We really have acceptance on Mary's part. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Going back to Zechariah, he was well advanced in years. He was old. His wife was old. They were both well advanced in years. But what about Mary? Mary was young. She is said to be a young virgin. We have documents that say, outside of Scripture, that say that she was 14 years old. That's young. That's young. So if the documents that we have outside of Scripture are correct, a 14-year-old versus someone who is well beyond the age of having a child. They're very different. And lastly, Zechariah, he was a priest in Jerusalem. He's a priest. Now, last week I said he was one of 8,000 priests in Jerusalem. So in some ways, there was this commonness with him. But at the same time, he was in Jerusalem. He was a priest. And who is Mary? Mary is a common girl in Nazareth. Nazareth. Remember, have you heard the words of Nathanael when Jesus called him? Nazareth. What good could possibly come from Nazareth? This is just a podunk place. It is a small place that we don't care about. No one cares about. It didn't even make the map back then. Nazareth. That's the place that Mary lived. That's the place that the angel went to visit Mary. Well, coming back to observations about this passage, how is Mary greeted? The angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord God is with you." You are highly favored. Some traditions in the church have included the worship of Mary. Worshiping Mary, in doing this, when we worship Mary, I believe that we downplay Jesus, or Jesus ends up getting missed. There is this elevation of Mary, and then Jesus, for who he is as a Savior, is missed. I don't want to do that. On the other end of the spectrum, I think that in the church, we can, for fear of worshiping Mary, we can almost downplay Mary and miss the example of her life. She is one who was blessed. She was highly favored. Consider, out of all the ladies who have ever lived, Mary was the one who was chosen to carry the Son of God. Can you even begin to fathom that? She's the one who was privileged to do this. She is the one who felt the kick of little baby Jesus in her womb when he began to move. She felt that. That was the Son of God kicking her. She felt it. Did she have morning sickness? I don't know. But there's a good reason to believe that she probably did. To some degree, my wife didn't have morning sickness all that bad. She was really blessed. But she had it a couple times. There was a couple of situations where she had some pretty bad morning sickness. And she was like, Nathan, I gotta go. Like the smells that she was encountering just were not going well with her. She was like, I'm out of here. Okay, you're the pregnant one. Mary was human. Jesus was also fully human. Mary had the privilege of carrying the Son of God, who is fully divine, but also fully human, in her womb. I wonder, did Jesus resemble his earthly mother? I think that we have every reason to believe that he did. Why wouldn't he? He came from her. Yes, he's conceived of the Holy Spirit. Yes, this is divine, but the divine is choosing to use human. The divine is planted within her womb. When she gave birth, was it just this pop out he comes? Oh, that was easy. No! She labored. This is all part of it, but these are the privileges that Mary encountered. How did Mary respond to the angel's words? You are highly favored. I read them. She was troubled. But again, she is troubled by the words. Never mind the fact that an angel is talking with her. Part of me read that and I just thought, Mary, are you kidding me? You are talking with an angel and you're concerned about the greeting. You are trying to figure out, well, how is he meaning that I am the favored one? What does he mean by this? She was troubled by these words. Gabriel continued, Mary, do not be afraid. That would be the only hint that we have that there was some fear in her. And I don't know how you are not afraid when an angel comes and speaks to you. Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Mary, you will be with child. Mary, you will give birth to a son. Mary, you will name him Jesus. Mary, he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. What an earful. Okay, you've got an angel who is speaking to you. An encounter with an angel. But then you begin to hear this. Okay, these are intense words. And the more that the angel speaks, the more intense the words become. Mary, don't be afraid. Okay, I'll try to be still my heart. Mary, you have found favor with God. Wow, what do you mean by that? What can this mean? Mary, you're going to be with child. Shock. This is intense. Mary, you're going to give birth to a son. Double shock. Mary, you will name him Jesus. Shock. Now, I want to say this in the context of 2,000 years ago. We hear this today and we think, Jesus, oh, that's what we think. Rightly so. In this day, Jesus, Yeshua, it was a common name. Oh, I know other Jesuses. I know this name. Okay, I can name him Jesus. It means the Lord is salvation. Today, 2,000 years ago, we hear this and we think, Jesus, Savior, true. But I think for Mary, when she's just hearing this, she's probably thinking, there's a kid down the road who is also Jesus. I will name him Jesus. Yes, I can do this. But the proclamation gets all the more intense. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High God. This is intense. How did Mary wrestle with this? Gabriel continued on. The Lord will give him, the one within you, the one I'm speaking about, the one that you will name Jesus, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Mary was a Jew. Mary had to recognize these words. She knew the Hebrew scriptures. She had been taught the Hebrew scriptures. I think that as she heard this, taken in again, an earful, I think that she began to connect the dots. I am going to be the one who carries the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that we have been waiting for. You can understand Mary's question. How are you going to do this? I am a virgin. I'm a virgin. How will you do this? Question for you. How important is the virgin birth? How important is what I'm reading to you right now? Over the last 100 or 200 years, there's been various talk. Well, virgin birth simply means that she was young. I don't see that here. She's the one who's saying, how will this be? I am a virgin. I have never been with a man, is what she's getting at. How are you going to do this? I am probably 14 years old and I understand how this works. How are you going to make this work, Angel Gabriel? What are you going to do? Well, how important is a virgin birth? As I see it, very important. If Jesus is the biological son of Mary and Joseph, how is he any different from John the Baptist? We just looked at John the Baptist last week. Remember how the people responded? Clearly, the hand of God is on this child. And they were correct. Because clearly the hand of God was on this child. 400 years had gone of silence. It had been 430 years since there was the word of God through a prophet. And now, 430 years later, God speaks again through John the Baptist. God is faithful to keep his promise. But John the Baptist is a man, fully human. A man who took after Zechariah and Elizabeth. Godly people? Absolutely. But imperfect, sinful. And so was John the Baptist. Jesus had his mother, Mary, who was fully human. Part of me, I found myself wanting to say, his father is fully divine. It goes beyond that. He is fully divine. He was fully divine. Colossians 1:15, by him and through him all things exist. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He is the radiance of God, the exact representation of God himself. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. It's for this reason that you read through the Gospel of John and you see over and over again encounters of Jesus with the people. And this frustration, you can't be God. I and my Father are one. And you see this in John 1:1 right away. The Word is God. The Word is with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is Jesus. How important is the virgin birth? God is God, and he can do whatever he wants, correct? Absolutely. This is how God has worked. Virgin birth, I think, is extremely important. Once Gabriel explained how this would work, Mary's response was pretty simple. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me exactly as you have said. Mary had to be thinking. She lived in a culture where you get pregnant and you're not married, it doesn't look good. She had to be thinking about this stuff. This could be the end of my life. At very best, I will be ridiculed. I will be an outcast. I will be separated from my family. They will not understand me. How am I going to go to my papa and explain to him there was an angel who came to me. Yeah, right. How am I going to explain this? And yet Mary was convinced that I have had an encounter with the supernatural. And what he just told me is not my own. I'm not making this up. And if this is what God has for me, so be it. May it be to me exactly as you have said. I will follow. I don't know what the road ahead is going to mean for me, but I will follow you. That is Mary's response. She was ready. Kelsey and I love doing premarital counseling. We're doing two couples right now. And it's a privilege. And whenever our time and our calendar allows, we love to sit down with younger couples and just work with them in preparation for marriage, because it's something that needs to be worked on, right? If you're married, you know this is something that takes work. It really does. When we are conversing with younger couples, and it's always been younger couples so far, thinking about marriage, we ask the question, well, how do you know that you're ready? How do you know that this is a time to get married? And their answers are typically kind of the same. Well, I just really love him. I just really love her. Well, we are good companions. We are so much stronger together. We're a good team. I can't imagine my life without him or her. These are not wrong statements. I don't belittle them. I'm not saying it in a demeaning way. I'm not even, when I ask this question, I'm not looking for a certain answer necessarily. Although if I hear a wrong answer, usually the red flag goes up and I say, whoop, that's probably not the best answer there. Let's unpack that a bit more. But how is a couple ever ready to get married in the first place? You can't be ready. How, if you've had kids, how can you be ready to become a parent? I mean, you can try to get yourself ready. You can read books and stuff, and you can like be watching other families and say, oh, I really like how they have parented. I really don't like this example, etc. But until you have kids, you're just not really ready for it. You can't be ready for it. You don't know what it's going to bring. Isn't life so similar? I can't be ready for all that God has in store for me in a way. How can I get myself ready for what God has for me next year? I don't know what he's going to bring to me next year. If God gives me the life in the next 10 years, I don't know. I can have a posture of humility. I can have a posture of, I am ready and willing to be used from you, of you, God, for however you see fit. That is what I see in Mary. Mary, there's just no way that she could have known all that this meant. But her response was, I'm ready. You may use me. Use me as you see fit. I am your servant. This morning, I want to ask you the question, are you ready? Are you ready? I'm not asking you if you're ready for Christmas. I'm not asking you if you're ready for this next week. I guess that might be a good place to start. But here's what I'm asking you. Do you have a spirit of surrender to God for your life? Is there a spirit of, God, my life is yours, and you may use me as you see fit? If that is your heart, guaranteed, life does not go as you or I think it's going to go. All of us, I can even see as I say that, I see heads shaking. You got that right. See, we've lived long enough to know that what I envisioned my life to be like is not necessarily how my life has turned out. But again, are we surrendered to the will of God? Is there trust? God, you are the Lord of my life, and I will follow you in the midst of whatever you take me through. Whatever the next year brings, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever the next 5 years bring, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. You see, in that, there is a spirit of trust. Lord, I trust you. I don't have to know all the details, but I'll trust you for what you have for my life moving forward. And guaranteed, we are going to encounter that which is a joy and a surprise, and we say, wow, I never would have imagined that to take place. And we will also encounter, that was hard. This is hard. This is something I never would have wished upon myself or anyone else. But I'm going through it, and Lord, you are with me in the midst of this. How could Mary have ever known all that she was going to encounter? And even at this young age of probably 14 when the angel encounters her, she had no idea what was yet to come. Consider what the next 33 years of her life would look like. There was so much in store for young Mary. God was with her because his plan was to use her, and she was surrendered to his will. Are you surrendered to what the Lord has for you? Are you surrendered? It is easier to surrender ourselves when we remind ourselves that we can trust our Heavenly Father. His plans are best. They are not easy, but they are best. They are best for us. They are best for those we encounter. And they are plans that ultimately bring Him the most glory. And I want that. I trust that you want that as well. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for this example of Mary. Just the attitude in which she responded to this angel, to the angel Gabriel. May it be to me as you have said. What a difficult challenge she had. What a difficult task. Yet what a willing heart. Thank you, Lord, for the obedience of Mary. May we learn from her life today. And may we as well be ready. Ready to be used by you, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.